to bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to bookstore.
Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the issue today is this, very simple, from the Word of God. We're talking about demonic blindness, demonic delusion. And I'm not talking about just the attempted assassin that just tried to destroy the President of the United States' life. I'm not talking about just that individual. I'm talking about blanket delusion that seems to be pervasive in Washington, D.C., especially on the left side of the aisle, as it is called. I find it troublesome, ladies and gentlemen, but yet when I read in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe summarization of the status of America today is that we're in a state of mourning when we witness what is taking place, when we watch what is being done. But listen very carefully. When this lunatic, brilliant mind, maybe dumb but not stupid, this bright mind, 31-year-old, decided that he needed to be the tip of the spear, that he felt it, the weight of the nation's death throw, as the Democrats would have us to believe, with the dictator-in-chief, President Donald J. Trump, as he would call it, that it was his responsibility to eliminate the problem. Ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't just that man. Where did he get his thinking? What inoculated him with the mindset that America has a dictator? This man, 31 years old, had recently attended the No Kings rally there in California, one of the multitudes of rallies. By the way, those rallies are bought and paid for. They are underwritten financially by the heiress, the Walton heiress, owner of Walmart. Ladies and gentlemen, we have those that have made it big time in America, mega millionaires that think that somehow, some way, they need to destroy President Trump. All of the ills of the nation, as they see it, are President Trump's problems. They didn't see a problem with sleepy Joe Biden when the auto pen was signing everything for him and he couldn't put two sentences together. They didn't see a problem when Barack Hussein Obama, the illegal non-citizen of America, became the President of the United States of America. They didn't see a problem with his saying that he's going to fundamentally change America, and it was embraced by the loose, lax, lost lunatoons in America. And as a result of that, we had 8 years and then 4 years, 12 years of the decaying process of our constitutional republic called the United States of America. So where did this lunatoon, 31-year-old man out of California, that thought it was his responsibility getting on a train 3 days, 3 weeks before he got the train to come to D.C. 3 weeks he had already registered online or by phone with Hilton Hotel. The day before the banquet was to be held, he checked in, taking his shotgun, his pistol, and his knives with him and not being checked. Where are we when it comes to President Trump's security? Where was Trump's security at Butler, Pennsylvania? Where was Trump's security on the Mar-a-Lago golf course? Where was Trump's real security in this venue at the Hilton Hotel? You can't have real security for a president. Someone postulated this thought, and I'll simply repeat it. What if in that 1,100-room hotel, what if you'd had 8 or 10 Islamic jihadists that brought with them some EIDs, where they had put together makeshift bombs, and then each one on a different floor comes rushing down out of the elevators, down the steps, rushing toward the banquet room? Could our Secret Service protocol in protecting the president, could it in any way fend it off that to protect the president? No. How can you protect the president in an open venue where you have the public coming into 1,100 rooms without any baggage check, without any sweeping the hotel, without any analysis of who's in the rooms and when did they rent, where did they come from, and something about, they could do the background checks pretty easily. And yet nothing was done, and had one magnetometer just outside the venue itself, just outside the doorway going into the banquet hall, and others just freewheeling, if you please, inside the building. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we have a major problem, and as I have understood it from previous research, we have an entire Secret Service department that's, how would you say, politically bent toward Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris. How can you have there, if you please, a total allegiance to President Trump? I think that we need to have a total review, a total analysis, top-down analysis of the Secret Service, and make some changes immediately. Each time there's an event where it seems as though Trump's life has almost been taken, there's the mindset with the FBI, don't care who it is, the FBI, the CIA, the DHS, et cetera, and the DOJ, which says, we've got to examine this. We can't ever let this happen again. But it happens again and again and again, because the real issue is the lack of the Secret Service of properly patrolling and controlling a venue where President Trump is located. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we need to ask the question, where did this shooter get all of his ideas that was carried out in a 1,052-word manifesto? What did he say? Where did he get those terms from? I'm looking at headlines that says, you read that bleep from some sick person. Trump torches 60 Minutes as horrible people after one question on assassination attempt. He's being interviewed by 60 Minutes, and the person from 60 Minutes brings up the accusations that this would-be assassin had outlined in his manifesto, calling Trump a racist, calling him a pedophile, calling him a rapist, etc., etc., etc. And this dunce interviewing him from 60 Minutes repeated all of those things, and President Trump very calmly says, you are embarrassment. I'm ashamed of you that you would repeat those things, say those things. You know those are not right. Why are you doing this, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, the point is those terms, those words, those accusations, terms of that's cast a fear in the hearts of multitudes in America today, coming right out of the talking heads of the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. Even after, ladies and gentlemen, after the attempted assassination, Hakeem Jeffers says, we're at war. We're at war. And ladies and gentlemen, when you look at what is being said by Chuck Schumer and by Hakeem Jeffers and others, ladies and gentlemen, you would understand and recognize that this coming from the would-be shooter, the shooter would-be assassin, we would realize that he's simply picking up on what has been said by the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party. Ladies and gentlemen, when the Democratic Party now for quite some time, they've called President Trump a Nazi. They've called him a wannabe king. They've called him a communist. They've called him a Hitler. I'm talking about now the media, the Marxist media, and the entire Democratic Party, what they have called him. They have called him, one of them said that he's destroying our democracy. They've used that term over and over and over again. Trump is called a liar. Trump's called a lunatic. Trump is called a wild man. He's called a racist. He's called a wannabe ruler with no controls, etc., etc. That's the problem, ladies and gentlemen, in my most humble opinion. I'm going to read something. Headline that says, Democrats calls for the elimination, listen, Democrats calls for the elimination of the President of the United States and do it right now. As Americans are stunned by the third assassination attempt on President Donald Trump's life in 3 years, video has emerged of the Democrats in Congress calling for the full elimination of the President of the United States and do it right now. Then the article reads further, if you want to eliminate abuse and fraud, we'd eliminate the President of the United States from the office right now. And the rest of the sycophants in his administration that are allowing him to do so many illegal things. Political violence is a symptom of democracy in crisis. We must return to the place where people can respect the process even if they don't get the preferred outcome. On April the 13th, the New Jersey Democrat claimed the president has a messiah complex. Trump's recent statements have led many to question whether he's suffering from cognitive decline, one Democrat said. Trump routinely cites his doctors to say he's in perfect health, but the doctors have a history of outrageous statements on his payroll. They're accusing Trump of not having his right mind. They're accusing Trump of somehow, some way being in decline. They're accusing Trump of being a sycophant. They're accusing Trump of one that's wanting to destroy America. And this wannabe assassin, this attempted assassin, just simply picked up on what's being said by the leaders in America. Blue cities, blue states, blue governors, those in the Beltway in Washington that admire those that are on the left, Barack Obama, those that admire leadership, the Grand Poobahs in Iran even today, those that hate Israel, those that hate God and hate the Word of God. These sycophants, these that are wanting to assassinate Trump, just simply pick up on what's being said, and because of the demonic delusion, they believe it, then they want to enact it and carry it out. I believe Derby's on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes. You and many others say we have to make sure that this doesn't happen again. So I'm telling you that it will happen again because we never punish those that commit the crimes. Mm-hmm. They should be arrested, punished so severely, or even eliminated, so that they wouldn't think of doing that again. But they will do it again because there is no punishment for those who do the wrong things. Also, I am so tired of all these investigations and nobody goes to jail. So Pam Bondi, I never liked her. So now we have this new guy. Well, is he going to be Pam Bondi 2.0 or what? We don't enforce the law when we have the opportunity to arrest the criminals. Illegals keep coming here because there is no punishment for being in the country illegally. We just send you back. No, you should be punished because you broke U.S. law. So punish the criminals, punish those who commit a crime, and deport all the illegals, even if you have been here for 50 years.
Derby, I'm in full agreement with what you're saying. If you'll hang on to let me respond, that would be wonderful. I believe, number one, we need to recognize, in fact, very recently, President Trump said we need to bring back public hanging for those that do dastardly crimes that are federal crimes when they're found guilty. He said, hang them publicly. I would agree with that 100% full, open-heartedly agree with that. The other problem is, most are not aware of this. You know, the major reason the Democrats have been pushing and pushing and pushing some more for the revelation, supposedly, they're hoping to find President Trump guilty some way in the Epstein files. Because right now, if the DOJ were to do everything that's demanded of them from the left Marxist media and the socialist Marxist communist Democrats, we'd need 1,000 agents in the DOJ just sifting through the Epstein millions of pages of files. They want to keep Trump so busy in the DOJ that he can't properly prosecute evil that's taking place. That's what they're doing. They're tying his hands. And if that doesn't work out enough, then everything that Trump attempts to do to prosecute, to punish, and put in jail, and to send illegals back, or to prosecute, punish, and put illegals in jail, you've got the small judges with a black robe on in a small room in a small county with a small court that wants to think that he's God and try to circumvent the Constitution and the rights of the president in the Oval Office. We've witnessed that for the entire duration. How many times did you see a judge do that against Obama? How many times did you see a judge do that against Biden? Zip, zero, nada. It didn't happen. And we find now that's taking place on a proliferating basis, and it's to keep the Trump administration so tied up defending their position that they cannot carry out the task that is before them. And Debbie, one of the things that I am highly concerned about, we're rapidly approaching the election, the midterm election, and I believe it's time that Christians, conservatives, and patriots wake up and recognize that if we do not hold the House and the Senate from the Republican side, that we will witness the total evisceration, the total rejection, the total destruction of the two-party system in America. We will witness the takeover. In fact, right now, one of the key leaders and the representatives from the Democratic side says, we're already planning to, after we take the House and the Senate in November, already planning to, the first thing is to impeach President Trump. To impeach Trump. That's the goal. If we lose the midterm election, we, the conservatives, the patriots, and the Christians, if we lose it, we've lost America. And I can't scream that mantra loud enough, long enough, and wide enough. I believe it's time Christian conservatives wake up, vet the candidates, go to the polls and vote. 40 million Christians didn't vote in the 2016 election. 2020 election, some 32 million Christians didn't bother to vote. I don't know how many it wound up being in 2024. But if Christians, conservatives, and patriots do not get up out of the easy chair and go to the polls and vote, we've lost it as a nation. I'm in full agreement with you. There needs to be the prosecution. If we continue the track that we're on now to eliminate the illegal invaders, it will take about 100 years to process them all and get them all either in jail or out of the nation. That's the purpose. That's the goal. That's the modus operandi of the Marxist left that's pushing through Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffers, Nancy Pelosi, and AOC and others like that. So we need to pray. We need to ask God to intervene, not just in protecting Trump's life, but to intervene in the future of America and preserving our constitutional republic. Derby, brother, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call will be received. We'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts in relationship to this wannabe assassin? What are your thoughts in relationship to how he should be treated, how would you say, constitutionally and yet legally? My opinion, I just throw in my little 2 cents worth, he's going to have a team of lawyers that will dedicate and donate their time to try to keep him from going to prison for the rest of his natural life. I believe it'll wind up 6 months or a year before he's tried. Since he will be tried in the D.C. Circuit, I've got zip, zero, no confidence in the anything that would be called a conservative jurist, a conservative judge, or a conservative jury that will do what's right. The man needs to be, listen, this is me talking. You can talk however you want to. I believe the man needs to be fried. I believe that's what old Sparky is for, is to take care of situations like this. If that were to take place at 90 days after he's found guilty, to fry him, we wouldn't see these attempts anymore for months and months, if not for years. I believe Lily's on the line. Lily, go over to question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. My thinking, at listening to the discussion, and throughout the ages of history, God's dealing with humanity, when God wanted somebody to use an individual to carry out his purpose, he would look around and select somebody. He wasn't finding any perfection, because we know, because of the brokenness from the very beginning, we're all broken, so God wouldn't be finding any perfect person to work to. He looked around, he found Abraham. Abraham was an idolatry, but he was able to use him. Noah, same thing. He was able to use him to carry out his purpose. And we believe we have no problem understanding very well that at this time, God raised up Donald Trump because he needed somebody to carry out his purpose. And thank God, he has been doing just that. Thank God for the courage that Donald Trump has been able to exhibit. We know it's actually not normal. We believe it's God working through him, that he's able to accomplish, to be doing the things that he's doing for him, for the church, for the nation, for humanity. Praise God, bringing back sanity, to be working hard at the risk of his own life repeatedly. We realize that God's sparing him because God has work for him to do. God is allowing him to do the things he's doing to rescue the condition where we have reached, where we have no problem destroying our own children, our own infants. No problem destroying them. And not only the infants, the unborn infants, we have no problem turning on the young kids, turning on our kids, mutilating their bodies, so we're turning boys into girls. It's satanic. And we know that what we're dealing with is spiritual warfare. Big time.
Absolutely. And yes, Lily, if I could jump in for a moment, it is spiritual warfare, and we're working against demons and the darkness of this world that's destroying the lives and the hearts of those. By the way, one of the things, let me just add a footnote. I agree that I believe God divinely intervened, gave us President Trump in 45, gave us President Trump again in 47, and I believe God is using him. I believe he is an instrument of God for a time like this. But one of the things that I question, not from the standpoint of what God is doing, but when I analyze the book of Revelation and look at the 11th chapter, the two witnesses in the last days, during the days of the tribulation, will stand up, speak up, be preaching and teaching that God will give them the authority. If someone comes against them, they can call down fire from heaven and destroy them, etc., etc. But they will ultimately be assassinated on the streets and left there 3 days and three nights. But the Word of God says when their testimony was finished, in other words, when God had finished with what he had used them for, what he wanted them to do, his purpose in their lives, when that was finished, God allowed Satan to destroy their lives. Now, with that being said, and if God is immutable, and he is, that means he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God operated that way then, and in the days of the tribulation, God's going to operate that way in the future, what is God doing now? And just how long will God allow President Trump to continue to go through the evisceration of his character, the attempt to assassinate and take his life? It is sad, and that's the world that we're living in. And that goes back to what I've said so often, Lily. I believe the responsibility, and for the future of America, is at the doorsteps of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we find Christians today that find it, if you want to go skiing, if you want to go golfing, if you want to go having fun, the best day to do it is on Sunday. After all, the church is there. The church will always be there. I don't have to give tithes and offerings. I don't have to be there present. I don't have to hold the doors open myself. Somebody else will handle it and do it. That's the mindset of Christendom today in general that's, I believe, bringing about the vacuum, that's allowing that vacuum to be filled by demonic delusion and demonic darkness that's bringing about the wickedness and the evil that we see promulgating in our nation today. It demands our prayer, it demands our attention, and as Christians, it demands our being willing to stand up, vet the candidates, and to vote. That's the opportunity and freedom God's given us. Lily, thank you so much for your call, and you're on target with what you're saying, and I'm thankful for you. God bless you, and keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. The press secretary, Carolyn Leavitt, names and shames the Democrats who inspired the WHCD assassination attempt. Listen to what Leavitt says. It's three or four paragraphs. Let me read them. In the aftermath of the third assassination attempt against Donald Trump, White House Press Secretary Secretary Caroline Leavitt took the podium Monday to call out specific Democrats for a heightening tension and calling for violence. Just days before the 31-year-old individual sprinted through a security checkpoint and opened fire in the lobby at the Washington Hilton, wounding the Secret Service agent, Leavitt is pointing the finger at Democrats who have inspired the deranged leftists to take up arms. She said it's not just the media, it is the entire Democratic Party that had their pitch to voters across the country that Donald Trump poses an existential threat to democracy, that he is a fascist, that he is compared to Hitler, she said. She goes on, I mean, these are despicable statements that the American people have been consuming for years, and so many mentally predisturbed individuals are led to believe that these words are truth and they're inspired to act on them. Leavitt went on to say, those increasingly likening Donald Trump to dictators who deserve to be met with violence inspired three assassination attempts. Hakeem Jeffers just last month said, we're in an era of maximum warfare in all times. Governor Josh Shapiro said, heads need to roll within this administration. Senator Alex Padilla said, people are dying because of fear and terror because Trump is the administrator. Leavitt went on to list several other prominent Democrats like Senator Elizabeth Warren, Adam Schiff, Ed Markey, J.B. Pritzker, Anna Presley, Representative Monica McLeaver, who have been made similar appealings like Trump is a fascist, he's a dictator, he's an authoritarian that needs to be eliminated and put out. These are the Democratic elected leaders calling for war against our president of the United States of America. How can we expect, ladies and gentlemen, anything other than a lunatic mind that decides this is war, someone needs to pick up the sword and be the tip of the sword to eliminate the problem called Donald J. Trump. That's exactly, ladies and gentlemen, what we see that has taken place. We need to understand that there's one other party involved in this, and that's the Southern Poverty Law Center that's just now been indicted because they have been buying the Marxists, the Communists, the KKK, and other organizations. They've been buying them and paying them to cause the riots and the street violence that is taking place to make it look as though it is against President Trump and needs to be eliminated. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC.